Going Linux, episode 24, listener feedback. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Going Linux is designed to provide you with practical, day-to-day advice on how to use Linux to get things done.
If you are new to Linux, moving to Linux, or just thinking about going Linux, then this podcast is for you.
In our user experience episodes, we take 2 months to cover a topic. During the first month, we introduce the topic for Linux newbies and recent converts.
During month two, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for users of Linux building their confidence and competence with their new operating system.
And between user episodes, we have listener feedback episodes like this one. Today, we'll read from listener email, answer listener questions the best we can, and play listener audio contributions. We hope that you'll find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and using it to get things done.
In a few days, the 2008 Southern California Linux Expo, also known as SCALE, begins. This is our last chance to promote it, Tom, so let's play the promo one more time.
Sure, go for it.
By now, you've probably heard about Linux, but whether you're a pro or have barely heard the word, SCALE. The Southern California Linux Expo has something for you. SCALE 6X will have over 50 speakers covering the hottest topics in open source software and more than 75 booths this year representing a wide range of commercial products and nonprofit organizations. Don't forget Friday's special sessions with Docs, open source software in the healthcare industry, the Women in Open Source Conference, and new this year is the Open Source Software in Education Conference. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2008 at the Westin LAX Hotel in Los Angeles, California. For more information and to register for the expo, visit socallinuxexpo.org. Use promo code CAST, that's C-A-S-T, for 40% off of your registration. We'll see you at SCALE.
If you plan to attend, it's still not too late to register. As the promo suggested, use the promo code to save 40% on your registration.
Hey, I was exchanging some emails with Orv over at SCALE, and he was saying that the registration is running 200% over last year.
Good Lord, is that good or bad?
That's kind of what he said to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and right at the top, I'd like to address something that I missed in our last listener feedback episode. Bill asked about playing Real Player streams, .rm streams. There's a real easy way to do that using a program called mPlayer. That's M like Mike, player, all one word, and it's in the repositories. Open a terminal and type mPlayer space dash playlist space. Okay, now let's leave the terminal alone for a minute. Open your browser and navigate to the site that's got the stream on it. It'll say something like, click here to listen. Instead of left-clicking that link, right-click it and hit copy link location or copy URL. Now go back to the terminal and paste that location onto the end of that line and you're all done. Hit enter and the stream will start to play. Sorry, but it's command line only, and sorry, it won't work for .ram files, only .rm files. If anybody knows a way to rip an RAM file, I would really like to know. Okay, hope that helps.
If anyone can suggest how to do this in a graphical user interface for those of us terminally challenged, that sounds wrong, then please write us in with that information as well. Our first listener feedback for this episode is a voicemail from our new listener feedback line, and the number is
206-350-5251, and put a plus one in front of that if you are using Skype.
Hello, everyone. Hello, listeners of the Going Linux podcast. My name's Emmanuel, and I have a tip for you guys, you know. It really helped me. So I figured I'd share it with you guys. Now, you know, in certain Linux distributions like Ubuntu, you know, they use the sudo command to do root privileges, right? Well, you know, I usually forget that I'm not root. You know, you have to put sudo in front of it. So I might type apt-get install Banshee, for example, to install one of my favorite music players. It says you need to be root. But I don't want to type in apt-get install Banshee all over again. So you can just, instead of doing, you know, instead of typing sudo and then blah, 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 you just type sudo space !! Basically, the exclamation points tell the bash shell that means the last command you did, which in that case would be apt-get install Banshee. I hope that helped someone. You know, it helped me a lot. It saved me lots of typing time and saved my fingers from getting hurt. And I don't know if it's okay with, you two guys, but is it okay if I can plug my blog? It's at thegreatbitbucket.com. Okay. Can't wait to hear you guys do your next podcast. See you.
Well, thanks for the tip, Emmanuel. His blog is The Great Bit Bucket in the Sky, in case you had some trouble hearing that in his message. And it can be found at www.thegreatbitbucket.com.
And reading through his blog, it seems like Emmanuel has a lot of stuff on non-Linux topics. Maybe we have a potential new convert?
Maybe so. Emmanuel describes himself on his blog as a Windows user and a student who is looking to buy a Mac.
Hey!
Yeah.
Before you buy the Mac, if you haven't already, download a live CD of one of the Linux distributions and give it a no-risk try on your PC. Maybe you can upgrade your operating system without spending the $1,099 you have budgeted for your new Mac.
Yeah, and on the other hand, if he really needs the hardware and he loves the Apple styling and design, then go ahead and go for the Mac, Emmanuel, and then dual boot it with Linux.
Sure. Or just wipe out that nasty OS X and just go with Linux.
Sounds good to me, but that's just me.
Check out episode 11 of Going Linux for some suggestions on this. Episode 16 for cautions on burning live CDs. And we have one more listener feedback voicemail.
Hi, guys. My name's Jim. I've been using Linux for about a year, as much as I can, but I'm just a total dunce when it comes to Linux. Regardless of the forums that I've checked, and your podcast has really helped out. So kudos to you on it, especially on the firewall section and for covering GuardDog, because everyone seems to focus on Ubuntu versus Kubuntu. One thing I was wondering if you could maybe do a podcast on would be how to install Compass Fusion on a Kubuntu or Ubuntu, if it's in my case Kubuntu, desktop. I've been trying for the past year and a half. I've had some success with a laptop, but absolutely no success with my desktop. And any help on that would be greatly appreciated. I mean, forums are great, but to have somebody actually walk you through it while you're doing some other things like riding on a metro, for example, would really help get the information out there without having to be at a computer. So thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks, Jim, for that comment. Yes, we can cover the installation of all of this kind of eye candy. I've successfully installed Barrel on my Kubuntu machine in the past, and it's worked okay.
And for our newer listeners, Compiz and Barrel are packages that give you desktop effects like wobbly windows, transparency, fading in and out, and fancy stuff like that. I've seen video of it, and it's cool.
It is cool. And Compiz Fusion is the latest incarnation of both of those applications combined. The only consideration is that you need a computer with a fairly good graphics card and processor speed to make it work. I have a 1.3 GHz processor that seems to be able to handle it, But if I set the processor speed to throttle back to 600 megahertz, everything bogs down if I install and use Beryl and don't ensure that the power settings are on performance.
I have no experience with it because my computer is a little old. Okay, it's steam powered. That's one of the many reasons I use Linux. Still, the eye candy would be nice.
Well, next, let's cover a few of the comments we've received on Podcast Alley. The first is entitled, Nice Podcast. Very informative for a noob like me. Submitted by Stuff. Okay, Stuff. Good handle. Thanks for the comment.
And Steve posted a comment. The title was Clear and Straightforward. I sometimes think Larry speaks a bit too slowly, but I appreciate his effort to be clear. I also appreciate that your podcast is to the point, and you don't waste my time by chatting about meaningless, unrelated topics. I guess some folks think anything they have to say is worth consuming my time. Thanks for respecting your listeners. I also like the Linux Reality podcast, and I think it would be great if you gentlemen could work with Chess to some degree coordinating topics. It would also be useful if you refer to your previous episodes, and possibly other related podcast episodes, to help new listeners catch up. I also like the back-and-forth conversation between Larry and Tom. It helps to keep the podcast lively. Hey, thanks, Steve. A few episodes back, we had an appreciative feedback from a non-English-speaking listener about how clearly Larry speaks.
Thank you.
Yeah. To be sure, my speech is faster and heavily flavored with a Midwest accent, and it's tough to find just the right pace for everyone. Oh, and we do talk to other Linux podcasters. Different podcasts are geared to different interests, and we all have our own show ideas. There's going to be some overlap or some gaps, but that's probably a good thing, just my opinion.
And we also do refer to our previous episodes from time to time, but we'll try to do a better job of mentioning the show number so it's easier to find the right one. Our next Podcast Alley submission is from Charles, who wrote, Great going. This podcast is a great help for me as I watch my family turn away from Vista towards Linux. Larry's help with problems is a wonderful service to the community, and Tom's color commentary is very encouraging as well. Thanks for stepping up to the plate, Tom. Charles.
Oh, thanks, Charles.
Yeah, glad to be able to help.
And now I'm a color commentator.
You are. Is that a promotion?
I think I get a pay raise from that, pal.
We'll double your
Thank
pay.
You. And, you know, I've been meaning to talk to you about this desk next to the boiler. Also, from the Podcast Alley comments, Ernie wrote, Fantastic. As a person that is just starting out with Linux, this podcast is just what I need. Thanks, Ernie.
And another short one from Arash 2005. He or she writes, Cool podcast. Thanks, guys. Cool podcast on Linux.
And listener Bob sent us an email. You may have heard it read on other Linux podcasts as well. Let's see. Better send the kids out of the room.
Yeah, watch that clean tag on our iTunes feed there, Tom. I can see what you're going to read here, and we got to be careful.
And I'm going to paraphrase his title here. Click the stuff out of Microsoft. I found myself constantly getting annoyed when I went to Linux sites and was greeted by Microsoft ads knocking Linux. These ads really hissed me off, and I went in on my browser options and set it so as not to allow content from the Microsoft website. Recently, I changed this and now allow all that garbage content to come in. The reason for this is something I heard on the Linux Outlaws podcast. They said in reference to these ads that perhaps instead of complaining about the ads, we should instead click the stuff out of Microsoft. They'll get lots of worthless hits and at the same time have to pay Linux sites for all the clicks. What a great way to generate income to support Linux from Microsoft. I think this is such a great idea that we should spread the word on every Linux podcast and website. Announce it on every show and spread the word. click the stuff out of Microsoft. It should become our mantra. Mm-hmm. Yours in Linux, Bob. Wow. Well, thanks, Bob. To tell the truth, I don't think Microsoft is going to go belly up for a long, long time. People are wary of change. They don't like change. Actually, that might be a good thing. Think of all the antivirus companies that would have to close shop if Windows suddenly fell apart. Not to mention, really, all the IT workers who are Windows only. Mr. Gates can see Linux coming up fast in the rearview mirror. I say let him coast to a stop long after we pass. I gotta tell you, I admire the guy. Look where he started and how far he came. But he's just about done now, I think.
Well, I think he's retiring, isn't he?
He's fading out.
Yeah. Anyway, on to the next one. Listener Bill, not Bill Gates, has...
Good.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Maybe it is.
He wants to put an ad on it.
He's looking in that rearview mirror.
Yeah.
So listener Bill has written us a couple of times in the past, and he's following up with another email. He says, just wanted to say that I have finally gotten around to installing Ubuntu AMD 64 7.10. So that's the Ubuntu Gutsy for 64-bit processor.
Right.
And he's installed it on his main PC. He says, I have had issues with the OpenSUSE 10.3, and I think I'll have to move my laptop to Ubuntu also. Installing the wireless card is like pulling teeth, but when I played with the Ubuntu CD, the wireless was supported with a restricted driver. The final note is, at first, the slab menus are okay. He's talking about OpenSUSE 10.3 now, but I began to find them clunky, and after looking for a way to customize them, I could not find a way to do it. I kind of felt like I was not allowed to make the system my own. You know, the way Microsoft kind of makes you take the whole interface for Windows. So, in short, I picked Ubuntu, and so far I'm thrilled with the 64-bit version. Well, I know it's a busy time of year, so take care and see you on the next podcast. Bill.
Okay, Bill, what are you trying to customize exactly? Was he having trouble customizing something in Ubuntu?
No, with OpenSUSE 10.3. Novell has a specialized menu, so it's not the regular K menu in KDE, and they call it a slab menu. It comes up, if you've used Windows XP, have you used that?
Yeah.
The default menu when you first installed Windows XP was not the traditional one. It was kind of like a slab menu where it came up with this big wide thing and you had to click three times to get to program.
Like two columns wide.
Right, exactly. So Novell did that with the slab menu.
Okay. And you know, now that I think about it, I have not tried OpenSUSE. I've tried a lot of distributions, but that one I'm going to have to check out. Thanks.
Yeah, I tried OpenSUSE 10.0, and actually OpenSUSE was one of the first distributions that I ever used. I started on version 9 something.
It goes back a while.
It does go back a while. It's one of the originals, and it is not as easy to use or easy to configure as Ubuntu, in my opinion. Now, there are people who would disagree with that, but I find it a little more techy than Ubuntu, or Kubuntu, either one. So for newbies, I prefer to recommend Ubuntu or Kubuntu or one of the simpler ones, but some folks like OpenSUSE as an introductory distribution as well. It seems to work well for some folks.
Sure.
Our next email is from Ron. He writes, I have just installed YDL, Yellow Dog Linux, on my PS3, but I'm having trouble installing Flash and MPlayer on my Firefox browser.
Okay, and Ron's talking about a Sony PlayStation 3 gaming console.
I think so.
I didn't even know you could do this. Mm-hmm. Have you done anything with these, Larry?
No, not at all. In fact, I don't think either of us is going to be able to help Ron with this question. So let's throw this one out to our listeners.
Yeah, if you send, have us, any... send me a free PS3.
Yeah, and we'll research it.
Yeah,
there you go. No, seriously, though, if you have any suggestions for Ron, or if you have some forums or other sites you could point them to, then send them to us by email at goinglinux@gmail.com or call our listener feedback line at +1-206-350-5251.
And then we have a quick note from Nid Good. Hey, I just found your podcast on iTunes and really like it. Hope you continue with the good work. Well, thanks, Nid.
And Josh wrote us an email. Hi, guys. I just subscribed to your podcast. Another new listener. Welcome, Josh. I like what I'm hearing so far. However, Tom sounds like he might be a bit too close to the mic. Not to your new mic, I bet, Tom. This is most notable in episode 15, Advanced Installing, the first episode I picked on. So if you have fixed this in later shows, my apologies. I look forward to the future episodes, Josh. Thanks, Josh. I think Tom's new mic is making a big difference. You started using it in the last episode, Tom, number 23, and I have really noticed that difference.
Oh, thanks. The new mic is, well, miles better than the old one, but it's far from broadcast quality. As a matter of fact, it's a Logitech USB headset made for PlayStation. So I've already got one when someone sends that machine.
Yeah, there you go.
I was really happy that I didn't need drivers or anything. I just plugged it into Ubuntu and it knew what to do.
Yep.
Michael wrote about my Aardvark challenge. Hi, Mike. He says, I was listening to the December 20th podcast and was a little bemused that you published your machine's IP. Couldn't help it, I ran a Nessus scan just to see what's up. I suppose it was just a honeypot, but shouldn't harm me as my machines are all behind a router. Likewise...
So he's got a firewall.
Yeah. Leastwise, that's my hope to security on my network. Okay, Michael... There was really nothing to be worried about. It's not a honeypot. There were no tricks or traps. Just my home computer with no protection, only the intrinsic protection you get from running Linux. And it was an experiment to see just how stupid I was.
Yeah, Tom, you sure got a lot of attention on that one.
It worked.
Yeah. Michael also attached the report that he generated, and from the looks of the report, it looks like the risk level from your computer is pretty low, but there's still a lot of information that could be derived by an intended hacker by not having your firewall up, Tom. So thanks, Michael, for that information.
Yeah, and I also think that some environmental factors may have helped to prevent hackers from getting in. For example, listener Steve observed, I couldn't ping Tom's computer this morning, and his website isn't responding. Did he put up a firewall? Well, the truth is my internet connection was a little intermittent, so my computer got cut off from the internet at random times. It's quite possible that the hacking attempts get terminated and that the hackers gave up. I did install Firestarter last night just to get a peek into my network traffic. It's turned off now, but we'll go right back up if I start seeing aardvarks.
Probably a wise move, Tom. Finally, Greg wrote us with a suggestion. He wrote in saying, like most listeners, I've been enjoying your podcast. You do an excellent job. Keep up the good work. I came across this in a post on the Linux Reality forums. He refers to an article entitled 10 Reasons Why the Command Line is More User-Friendly Than the Desktop. We'll include a link to that article in the show notes. And he continues on, I don't think that command line computing is the way for new Linux users, but it has an important role to play for Linux users overall. While I don't agree with everything in this article, it does raise some interesting points.
Yeah, it might not be perfect for the new user to use all the time, but there are times that it's simply easier to go to the command line. Here's a sort of an example. I started writing a GUI for a command called mp3gain. And what it does is adjust the gain in very creative ways on an mp3 file.
The gain, just for listeners who aren't familiar with audio, is the level of volume on an audio file.
But it does it in some very cool ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, this is a really simple command. I can make a graphics user interface for it.
Uh-huh.
Well, as it turns out, there are maybe half a dozen options.
Mm-hmm.
And so having buttons for each of those options, and then sub-buttons off of those, because each one of those can open another door or several more doors somewhere else for something you might want to do, it turned out to be really complicated. This is a real easy command to just type and run. But to make an easy-to-understand GUI for it is a nightmare.
Yeah, and that's the complex problem that programmers face every day.
Sure.
Is making something that would be a very easy command to just type out and create a graphical user interface that is equally simple and easy to use is oftentimes very, very difficult to do.
Right, and I think what happens a lot of the time is when somebody makes a GUI, there are going to be a lot of features and options that simply aren't included. It's going to be a stripped-down version just because it would be too confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not easy to put one of those together, that's for sure. So Greg goes on and says, the point I would like to make is that when new users ask for help in forums, they're often asked to run some command to provide more information to people helping them. So the solution to problems they face is also likely to require some command line interaction. In short, users need to be educated. Recent trends in some forums where new users have been asked to run destructive commands demonstrate this need. Well, I would agree with Greg
Sure.
And we mentioned that, I think, in either the last episode or the one before that. He goes on to say, you're uniquely positioned to do something about it. He's meaning if you understand how to use the command line. To this end, I would like to propose a new segment for your show, the command line tip. One short little tip each episode to introduce a command line tool or problem-solving technique. And he's given us some suggestions for some command line tips, and he's got
Sure.
some good ones there.
And after Greg signs off, he says, P.S., thanks for putting me on to Basket. It's a great little application. Yeah, thanks, Greg. I think so, too. I use it all the time, though.
Yeah, it is really good. And so, Tom, speaking of tips of the month and things like that, what's our software pick for this month?
Well, Larry, this month it's actually a command line function. What do you think, Greg?
How apropos.
It is. And a command line function is really a program anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, it is very apropos. And as a matter of fact, the command is apropos. Alpha, Papa, Romeo, Oscar, Papa, Oscar, Sierra. Is there a program on your box that edits, MP3 files? Find out. Type apropos, space, edit, space, MP3. You'll get a list of all the files that might do that, along with a short description. It's a lifesaver when you know that you have a program, but you can't remember the name. For more information, type man, for manual, space, apropos. And that's my pick.
And all that typing, of course, is done in a terminal. That's often confusing for new users. You open the terminal application in GNOME or console in KDE. And console under KDE, of course, begins with a K
really?
Instead of a C. Who knew? So,
who GNU?
My pick. Who GNU?
What's your pick?
Geez. My pick is an extension for OpenOffice.org. It's called Sun Presentation Minimizer. It's an extension, and it's one that is very geared to people who use their computer for business running their own personal business, or perhaps you're one of the lucky few who gets to use Linux in a big corporation. I got it from an OpenOffice extensions site that we didn't mention in episode 19 when we were talking about OpenOffice.
Let's do it here.
Okay. The site is extensions.services.openoffice.org. And I'll include a link in the show notes that takes you directly to the presentation minimizer. The description on that website tells us a little bit about what it does, and I'm just going to read a couple of snippets from there. It says, it reduces the file size of your OpenOffice Impress, which is the OpenOffice application that creates presentations.
Okay.
It reduces the file size of those files. Images will be compressed. It also optimizes the image quality for size, depending on how you're going to be using the presentation, whether it's on screen, on your computer, whether you're going to print it out, those sorts of things. It replaces certain objects with images without any loss of quality. The extension will also remove speaker notes and hidden slides and other things that you just don't use in the presentation.
In the final
when you're
product.
The presentation. Exactly.
Okay.
And one final note, it says the Sun Presentation Minimizer also works on Microsoft PowerPoint presentations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not meaning, of course, that it works in Microsoft PowerPoint.
No,
the
but it'll take the presentation and do its magic and make an output file.
That's exactly right.
And, ta-da, it's open source, so that's great.
Of course it's open source. It's your choice whether you want to overwrite the existing file or create a new one that's an optimized file. The only caution is that if you choose to minimize the size of the graphics as far as you can, you sometimes get very grainy graphics
okay.
pictures. So you might want to adjust it and try it out a little bit before you settle on a final setting.
Larry, I noticed that the download is an OXT file. What the heck do you do with that?
Well, OXT is the file extension that OpenOffice uses for its application extensions. The instructions for installing one of these extensions is on that website, but it's very simple, so let me just cover the points here. From the OpenOffice menu, select Tools, Extension Manager. Then select My Extension and click Add. Choose and open the OXT file. Accept the license agreement, usually it's the GPL, the GNU Public License, and install. You may need to restart OpenOffice.org. I found that any extensions that I install that way does require a restart of the application.
Okay. Did you look at the agreement? Is it a GPL?
Yeah, in fact, they have the GPL right at the top, the fact that it is a GPL. It depends on which extension you're actually installing.
Sure. But this one definitely is GPL, and it's mm-hmm. friendly and all that. Okay, Larry, the reason I asked about the GPL is because Michael earlier mentioned that he used something called Nessus to scan to see what was up. Well, I looked at the user agreement for Nessus, and although part of it is open source, it's boilerplate Microsoft style, don't touch this or we'll kill you.
Yeah, very important. Yeah, all of the extensions that I've actually looked at for OpenOffice seem to be licensed under the GPL, and there may be other kinds of licenses in some of these, but they're all pretty much open
sure.
source from what I can tell. So that's good. It's time to wrap up the episode, Tom.
Cool.
So in our next episode, we will have a special episode called Why Switch? Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at our website, goinglinux.com, for more information and detailed instructions with screenshots.
And you can email us with comments, questions, and suggestions. Send us an audio comment by email or leave it on our listener feedback line. We'll play it on the show. And once again, that feedback line, telephone +1 206 350 5251, or email goinglinux@gmail.com.
You can download the episodes from our website or subscribe to the podcast to get future episodes delivered to you automatically. Instructions on how to do that are on our website.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening. Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.
Of course, I'm going to do an ending song for you. You guys are my friends. My friends are so cool. They're so cool. So that's it, everyone. Episode 10 is coming to an end. I appreciate you sticking with me for 10 episodes. And I can tell you, we shall have many, many more. Please come on back next week, because we're going to have something new on Linux Basement. And now, my friends, your unique Linux song for the week. Old man Tom sitting on his front porch, carving a big penguin in his leg. Old man Tom thinking about his next move, not ready to give any more today. He looks up to the sky and smiles, because he knows his open source. The tides are turning, the people are learning, and he thinks of others with remorse. Larry washed his hands of Windows, and now he knows his hands are clean. No one knows the way his mind works, but open source is where it's been. He regrets the days in the mind cage and its everlasting effects. Now he lives on the whim of a free life, and he doesn't have to be perplexed. Because Larry and Tom are going Linux, and you should follow them to paradise. Larry and Tom are going Linux, and the world should follow them. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Tom showed his doctor the notice, and they told him he's in the dark. He explained to the doctor politely that he asked for the aardvark. Meanwhile, the armadillo laughs at him as it reads his Drupal blog. Maybe the animals know more than they should, but at least Tom still has his faithful dog. 'Cause Larry and Tom are going in, and you should follow them to paradise. It's Larry and Tom are going Linux, and the world should follow them. Yes, the world should follow them. Yes, the world should follow them. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Alright, obviously this is episode 10. And I dedicate this song to Larry and Tom at Going Linux. They helped me out at the beginning, and I really appreciate that. And so this song is for them. Give them credit where credit is due. And let me tell you, you should listen to them too. Give credit where credit is due, and it will all come back to you. LinuxBasement.com, everybody, come on over and visit. Good night.
Listen to The Bad Apples, the Linux podcast that unabashedly takes on Apple Incorporated and proves to the world why Linux is better. We've got tips, tricks, and hacks for both the newbie and the experienced Linux user alike. And if you're coming from Macintosh, you're going to love the show. Visit us at thebadapples.info. Subscribe to our feeds at thebadapples.info/og.xml.
Hello, gentle listeners. Today I get to tell you all about a story series written and recorded by J. Daniel Sawyer, one of those pod people things.
That's podcasters, Miss Delaney.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we ready? Can I just keep talking?
Go ahead, we're recording. Just try to read the script we gave you.
Ahem. Are you sitting comfortably? Good. Because the stories you're about to hear aren't for the timid. About lovers, about a woman whose body is found battered. Oh dear, a snake and a woman in the tryst. Oh my. About two girlfriends imprisoned by a bloodthirsty. Oh my dear goodness. I was told these were bedtime stories, but no child should be exposed to filth like
this. Mrs. Delaney, would you kindly exit the booth, please?
How could you do something like this? I can't believe you could do something like this.
Get comfortable. These stories aren't for the timid. When lovers stumble upon a mystery that changes everything. When a woman's body is found battered in the surf at the base of a cliff. When two girlfriends are imprisoned by a bloodthirsty wizard. And a creature named Control runs the universe. When the stories contain enough terror, sex, mystery, and wonder to keep you awake all night. You know you're listening to Sculpting God.
Hi, this is J. Daniel Sawyer. I hope you'll join me for the full cast dramatizations of the stories in my anthology, Sculpting God, at www.jdsawyer.net. Sculpting God. Bedtime stories. For adults.